Hello, hello. I am going to give people a minute to get in here, get their audio connected. And then I'm going to kind of go over, I'm going to introduce myself first because this is actually the first happy hour that I have been on since Fearless Birth. So I'm going to go over who I am, kind of how I run the happy hours, and see how many of you hop in here. Guys, I'm sort of fired up right now. My sister-in-law just messaged me to tell me that she was at the doctor's office today breastfeeding my nephew, and some lady like told her to go and do it somewhere else. Gets me right fired up. It only ever happened to me once while breastfeeding my daughter, and it was at a doctor's office too. I'm like, what the heck? Like, if there's anywhere, right? Like, I don't know. I just feel like if there's anywhere that you're gonna get backlash on that. Anyways, I breastfed my daughter for a long time and it only happened to me once. So my sister-in-law is definitely the kind of person who like has no shame in facing scenarios like that. So I guess she just said, do you eat your lunch in the bathroom or do you want to go eat your lunch in the bathroom? She was at like a lab and not the nicest part of town either. So it was like, yeah. Anyways, she just texted me that before I hopped on here and I was like, I have to share because I don't know if any of you are like second time moms and have dealt with that, or maybe that's a fear of yours. Maybe we can chat about that tonight if you are planning on breastfeeding and like how to navigate breastfeeding in public or other people's opinions on it. Yeah. Anyways, that's what the message I just got to my phone and it made me mad. Okay, so there's quite a few of on here, so I will just go ahead and get started. My name is Taylor. Most of you, I'm seeing your names here, probably have chatted with me at some point, whether it was through Fearless Birth or in the community. I am the virtual doula here on the Labor Nurse Mama team and also the community manager. So I am like in charge of all things inside the Circle app and kind of take charge and direction when it comes to that. With that being said, I am not a labor nurse and I have no medical background and no medical training. So I always like to start off the happy hours when I'm running it just to make sure that that is clear. So if you have a medical question or something that is more on the medical side of things, I do not pretend to know what I don't know and I stay within my scope of practice. So if it's not something that I can answer, I am going to guide you to where to get that answer from. If it's something urgent that needs Trisha's attention, then you and I can chat afterwards and circle and like I can get you guys connected. But I wanted to chat a little bit about the community. And if you do have a medical question, whether it's like after an appointment or I don't know, your something has popped up in your blood work or something like that, there's a section inside the community that says ask Trish, Labor Nurse Mama. And that is where I want you guys to focus on putting like all of your medical-based questions in there. She's going to be in there every day, if not every other day, answering them. And that way you guys are just like knowing that, you know, you're having someone who has a medical background and medical training answer your questions, which is why we have been putting so much emphasis on the community right now and trying to kind of bulk it up in terms of content. And I really want it to be, well, Trish and I both want it to be the space where it's like the first place you turn to when you have questions, whether it's pregnancy, postpartum, baby, something's on your mind, something's on your heart, you need to let something out. Like, we want the Circle app to be the first place that you go and ask these questions rather than turning to a local moms group. And I'm not saying don't be a part of them, don't post in them. But when you are posting in groups that are completely open to the public or maybe not closely monitored, you are opening yourself up to possible like false information, a lot of different opinions that you have to filter through. And not that you're not going to get different opinions here, because we're all different people who have different life experiences and different opinions, 100%. And that's okay when they're managed and spoken in a respectful manner. And so that's our goal inside of those forums, is like when you have a question or something is on your mind or whatever it is, like make that app the first thing that you pop open. Like you have access to a baby care specialist, a labor nurse, and a birth doula inside of there that are going to be in there, one, monitoring the comments. So like if something's a false information or not evidence-based or whatever it is, we're there to back it up, you know? So that's a little bit about me. I'm seeing some names in here that we haven't chatted. So if this is your first happy hour, I would love for you to go in and edit your name and write how many weeks and how many days you are. So if you can see at the top, you can see Laura is 39 weeks and 5 days. This just gives me a better idea of like where you're at in your pregnancy to help me better answer your questions. Now there's quite a few of us on here and we're going to try our hardest to stick to an hour. So what I'm going to ask you guys to do is if you have a pressing question for me or something that you need to talk about, throw up your hand in your sticker and just like Laura did there. And so I can get to you guys first before I kind of make my rounds and check in on you, just because we will get off on tangents. And I want to make sure that if you have a question, you're not leaving here tonight wondering anything more. And if not, once I get through Laura's question, I'm going to just like kind of work my way around. If you don't want to speak or you don't want to talk, that's totally okay. You can just write in the chat and let me know. And I won't go ahead and call on you. I know some of you are like eating dinner, putting your babies to sleep, all of that. So anyways, Laura, how are you? Give us an update. 39 weeks and 5 days.
Thank you. Well, I was just at coming back from my follow-up appointment today and a little sad because they did a scan and the baby's breech, her head's kind of in the middle of my stomach. Yeah, and she's in a funky C-shaped position with her feet down, and the provider was saying, well, I usually don't like to mess with moving the baby after 37 weeks, but she'll talk to another colleague to see if that colleague will be open to trying to move the baby before scheduling a C-section. So mm-hmm. I was wondering, I know Trish had mentioned going through that procedure before, and I wondered, you know, if there's anything that I can do or consider, because I'll be 40 weeks on Friday, so it's kind of like I have to figure out what I'm going to do.
Yeah, for sure. So I am not like I've never had a client and I'm not overly familiar with the actual EBC procedure. I know Trish is a fan of them. She had one herself. It was successful. But as you said, it really depends on like one, your provider, where you're at in pregnancy, and sometimes exactly where that baby is positioned, because sometimes it's not like a full breech, or it's, you know, like there's different types of breech. And depending like where baby is at, they could find it maybe to be a little bit more complicated to do at this point in your pregnancy. I'm really sorry that you're faced with that, because I know that is one of these things that can pop up in the last few weeks of pregnancy. That one, it comes completely unexpected and is 100% not in your control. Like you didn't cause this, nothing you did made baby to be in that position. So I really want you to like give yourself grace, because I'm sure that you've thought those things and today thought like, what could I have done differently? You could have done all the things. You could have done spinning babies since 30 weeks and she would just sit there in that position. Truly, it is one of those things in pregnancy that can humble us, make us throw our hands up and really realize that at the end of the day, there is only so much we can control in this experience. And it's hard to wrap your head around, but it does really humble us and set our journey in motherhood that there's things in that journey as well that we do also have to throw our hands up and know that like we aren't in control of that. In terms of like trying to turn her in the next little bit, there are like a massive list of old wives tales and things that you can do. And I'm willing to talk about those, but I really want to err on the side of like where you're at mentally with this, because I don't want you to exhaust yourself over the next few days trying to get the baby to turn and then feel even more defeated if it doesn't happen. So some things that like pop in my mind right away is to check out spinning babies. One second. My dad has the heater on in this room and like it's hot. Give me a second. There we go. Before I like sit here and sweat the whole time. Spinning babies for sure. I'm going to type it in the chat here for anyone else worried about babies positioning. You don't even need to be worried about it to check out spinning babies. It's just an incredible resource for optimal positioning in the womb anyways. Forward leaning inversions, if you can handle it at this point in your pregnancy. There's old wives' tales like acupuncture. I'm not sure if that would be considered a wives' tale. There are reports of it being beneficial when turning the baby. But again, how much do you want to like pour in and stress yourself out over this? You know?
I wonder if there are providers that will be okay delivering breech, or is it for the most part, would you say that they see that and they're like, we're not doing a vaginal delivery, we have to do a C-section?
Honestly, my personal opinion on this is that they're scared because it's not a routine thing. It's not something that they're overly trained in. And it's frustrating because breech birth is a form of natural birth. It truly is. And I have heard of people who have a breech delivery on accident, right? Like they get pushing and all of a sudden they're like, oh, those are feet. That's not a head. And so it's not that it's impossible. It's whether or not your provider would support that. I know here in Ontario, finding a provider that would like knowingly support a breech birth is pretty hard to come by. I feel like we may be at the start. I'd be interested to know Trisha's like opinion on this in terms of like being inside the medical field. I feel like possibly we're at the start to see this shift in this and more providers being trained and becoming more comfortable with that. I mean, like, it doesn't hurt to ask around. Like that maybe is not going to hurt to ask around. Have you sent us a message today updating us in the labor bat signal with that?
I did like 10 minutes ago, 10 or 15 minutes ago.
Okay. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to write this down. I'm just gonna put it in my phone because I want Trish to weigh in with this in the morning, just to get her opinion. She's out tonight, so it will be in the morning, but I'm going to make sure that your message is checked first thing tomorrow from her, and get her opinion on, like, you know, one, potentially turning the baby manually, what her thoughts are after 37 weeks. And then again, like, how hard do we want to go on trying to change the baby's position at this point, and then also getting you into the C-section course if that's where the route that we're going to take. And so that
I asked her, have you heard, can I do a gentle belly birth? And she was like, oh, what is that? So because I know they strap your arms to the side, and there are options where you don't have to have your arms strapped, or and you can see the baby. Absolutely. As soon as—
So I think she must have just read your message wrong, because she definitely knows what a gentle belly birth is. She must have just
My provider. I'm sorry.
Oh, your provider, not Trish. I thought you said Trish. I'm like, what? I'm like, I think she read your message wrong. Providers say that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so she's just not used to the term. 100% you have options. I'm going to hook you up in the community with Rita tomorrow morning. I don't think she's on here. She'd probably be in the postpartum one. I don't know if you've seen her story or heard her story inside the community. Go to after you get off of here, and this is for everyone if you want like a little tearjerker, if you're feeling a need to cry today. If you go to birth stories and look up Rita's birth story, she was trying for a VBAC, I think it was 3C. And at the end of the day, her providers were really adamant that they were not going to give her a VBAC. And so she went for a repeat cesarean, and she chose to do a gentle family centered cesarean, and she has it on video and she shared it in the community, and it is beautiful. It is so beautiful, and it is so stunning, and it is like incredible. And we worked so hard with her to change her perspective on that cesarean and on that belly birth, to one of like, you still have control. You still have choices. Your arms don't have to be strapped down. You can have the drape down so that you can see the birth, so that you can see the baby. You can reach out and grab the baby and have them assist you on that. You can have your favorite song playing, no different than when you would when you were in labor. And her story is just so incredible to read. And I know that she would like definitely walk you through some of the mental blocks that she had and how she got over that. That is just one story that I don't think I'll ever like forget how hard she had to fight to try for a VBAC. And at the end of the day, having to go for a repeat cesarean and then having the most beautiful birth that she like absolutely loved. So it is 100% possible to have such an incredible experience. Your birth plan will change. Obviously, the things that you want will adapt. I don't even want to say change. I want to say adapt, because there's definitely things that you can still have, like the skin to skin, as long as baby's doing well. You know, like the reason for cesarean here is breech birth. Well, baby more than likely is going to come out completely okay to be on your chest and not have to be whisked away, right? And so all these things that you still wanted, you can still have. It just comes to adapting that plan a little bit.
Gotcha. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm going to make sure Trish gets to your message first thing in the morning. And then we can kind of chat that over. And we'll be in contact in the next couple of days too. Like, send me updates and stuff. And we'll make sure that I'm looking for your name.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Erica, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's nice to meet you. I don't think we've ever officially met. So hi.
I have spent the last day like trying to get through all of our new members and send them messages. So like if I spoke to you today and then I look at you and I don't know, like just forgive me. Every name meshes together.
Yeah, no, I would imagine so. So yeah, we haven't met, but yeah, we've like corresponded a little bit on in circle. So
awesome.
So I am getting close to the third trimester. And I'm just starting to notice, like, I am feeling, and I'm sure this is like normal and expected. But like starting to just feel more tired and more like I love working out and stuff. And it's just more of a struggle to like, okay, I'm going to go up and I'm going to work out and I'm going to do that. But I want to keep with it throughout the third trimester, because I know how good it is, you know, to keep your body moving and stuff. So I'm just kind of like, is there tips, advice, like what can I be doing or thinking about, or, you know, keep, you know, from just wanting to sit on the couch for the next 3 months?
For sure. It is definitely, you hit a stage two, because your body kind of like in the first trimester, you might feel poopy and like low energy and nauseous. In the second trimester, you're kind of like, oh, I kind of have some energy. And like, I'm not super, super like big to the point where like bending down to pick out a weight is a struggle, you know, but now that you're reaching the third trimester, those physically, like even tying up your shoes, walking up those stairs, like bending down, getting the weights, everything is a little bit more work. I think my biggest advice is like adapt your plan. Like, don't have the same expectations that you would have in that second trimester for yourself, because it's just different. Your body is changing, your energy levels are changing, your body is doing a lot of work right now. So set your expectations to be different. If you're doing 30 minute workouts, maybe they're down to 15, maybe they're down to 10. Maybe it's just a walk. Maybe it's just like, maybe you were full body. Maybe now you're just focusing on arms one day. Like, change your plan to and expect that there is also going to be days where it is okay to just sit on the couch and do nothing and rest. I am also like a go-getter, and I need to be moving and doing all of that. So rest for me is so uncomfortable, and I don't know what the heck to do with myself when I rest. But in pregnancy, that can be a fight, because your body is tired and exhausted. And so learning to listen to your body and be like, okay, like there's a difference in being like, eh, am I being lazy? Like, I don't really want to go up there, versus like, I'm really exhausted and my body is telling me to rest. So there's a difference there, right? So like, learn to tune into that. And if your body's tired, take a couple of days off. It's okay. Like, it's not going to be super detrimental to your labor experience or anything like that. And then in terms of like exercise and focusing on that in the third trimester, I'm not an exercise science person and fitness trainer, but I know for myself and my clients, something that I focus on is like hip mobility, lots of stretching. So like you're not getting, like letting those muscles get super tense from sitting or laying down for too long. So hip mobility is huge when it comes to labor, simply because when we can like relax all those muscles and everything in that area and in your legs, and strengthen them at the same time, is going to be beneficial for us in labor. So if you're going to focus on anything, look up exercises or use your own knowledge to do some hip mobility and leg exercises, because ultimately our legs are carrying us through labor, right? And like the strength in them. So the focus on that, lots of squats if you can, because those are great for your pelvic floor and for the positioning of baby and all of that. So even on those days where you don't feel like going to get a workout in, maybe you're just doing like 3 times a day, you do 5 squats, like in the morning, at lunch, and before bed, and you get your squats in. Trish is a huge lover of those deep yoga squats in pregnancy, all throughout your pregnancy, especially in the third trimester. So if you're not going to do anything that day, if you can do a few squats, you're on track.
Cool. That's all really helpful. And yeah, it's sometimes it's just knowing and like, it's okay to not like, you know, like to just sit on the couch. Like if you're feeling tired, like okay to do that. And then, so my question with the squat stuff is, cause I've been doing, you know, like where you just do like the yogi squat and you like hold it, like stretch and relax. But are you like, when you're saying do squats, are you meaning, cause I'm not a big like do squats person. I do like Pilates and yoga and spinning. Yep. And some light weights, but I'm not like I'm going to stand there and I'm going to do squats over and over.
So Trish is more of a fan of doing the, like the yogi squat and holding it.
Okay.
There are like, it depends who you talk to. Like if you're not like, don't force yourself to become a squat person. If you're not a squat person, if you can hold into that yogi squat, it's just as beneficial as if you're doing some, like a few squats a day to get those like leg muscles, you know, working and used to holding your body in that position per se. But generally speaking, when we're talking about squats and pregnancy, it is that deep yoga squat. I just saw Elizabeth said, where's the video for the deep squats Trish likes? I think it's on our Instagram page. I would have to probably go searching down quite a bit. And to find it, but yeah, like the deep yogi squat. And like, if you can't hold that, cause you have a massive belly out front of you, you can put like a yoga block or some pillows behind you so that you're supported in that position. But yeah, like if she says 30 minutes a day, like in total of holding it there 30 minutes a day. So maybe you're doing like 10 minutes, 3 times a day to equal up to that. But squats, up and down squats, holding squats, it's all beneficial.
Okay, cool. Because yeah, I've been trying to just kind of work up like how long I can stay in the yogi squat position. So okay, that's helpful too. So thank you. Appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Is it Swathi? I think we've talked before, and if I'm saying your name wrong, I apologize because I'm the worst.
No, you're right.
Perfect. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
So my question today is, so I'm in the 36th week of my pregnancy currently, and this is my first pregnancy, and I conceived through IVF.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I'm told that my baby is small. It's at 12th percentile. And so for this reason, I've been referred to the maternal fetal specialist. And so what they suggested is for the two reasons, one being the IVF baby and second measuring small, they wanted to actually start inducing me at 39th week. And the provider and the MFM specialist, as well as my OBGYN, they mentioned about the ARRIVE study. And the one thing that I'm worried about is the chances of having a C-section, ending up with a C-section, and interventions on top of interventions. Those are the two things that I'm worried about. But then my MFM specialist, as well as my OBGYN, assured me with, quoting the ARRIVE study, that that I might actually end up with a normal delivery instead of a C-section, as the baby is small and is already lying low. It's just right above my cervix. I can still feel the baby while I'm sitting down. So, so my question here is, what do you think? What is the insight? Even though I have read about the Arab study online, I'm still not very convinced with the induction plan. What do you think about
it? So a couple things come to mind here. One, IVF and induction is pretty common, like, or we hear it a lot. That being said, we've had IVF pregnancies in students who go on to not be induced. So they may opt to use, like, get some more, like a couple non-stress tests in those weeks, or a BPP done, and like an extra ultrasound done in that week in terms of like monitoring the baby. This is a topic in terms of IVF and induction that I need to do a little bit more digging in myself. I actually just hired me on an IVF pregnancy. So I'm interested to see how we walk through that with them in induction. But I do know that we've had IVF pregnancies in our students that have gone on to not be induced and go into labor spontaneously. So that's my first thing. The second thing about the size of the baby, has your baby just always measured small, like continuously just measuring small, or is this like a new thing that they're worried about? Like, how has the growth of the baby been throughout your pregnancy?
It's actually a new thing. Last time, it was like 4 weeks ago, when I went to the specialist again, they measured the baby to be at 32nd percentile. Yeah, 33 or 32 percentile. And this time it's 12 percentile. So that's where actually the concern started.
Mm-hmm.
And they suggested, that's the reason she mainly said was the reason for her to suggest with induction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like there's a difference when we're talking about if a baby is just like generally measuring on the small side. If the baby is doing well, like if everything is, you know, the tests are coming back normal, the baby's movement is good, they do a non-stress test and they're good, they do a BPP and they're good, and the baby's just measuring on the small side, having a small baby is not a problem. I was 3 pounds and 5 ounces when I was born, and I was 3 weeks early. I was a tiny little peanut, and like small babies are a thing, right? Now, if there's concerns on the baby's growth and it's not increasing or not like proceeding the way that they want to, that's a different story. If there's talk of like fetal growth restriction and the baby's not getting what they need inside the womb and they're better off outside of the room, that's a different topic. So I would be interested also to hear Trisha's opinion on the 36 week mark and how the percentage has gone down in terms of the medical side of that. But again, I kind of err on this side of if baby is doing okay inside, like everything is going okay and they're just measuring small, then the reason for induction doesn't really seem to be, medical induction doesn't really seem to be needed at that point. If everything is going okay, does that make sense? Like when I'm saying, if there was like a concern for the fact that they were thinking fetal growth restriction or the baby was not getting the nutrients they needed inside from the placenta, that would be a medical reason to need an induction. If they're just saying your baby is measuring small and you have a small baby, that's not necessarily a medical reason to need induction. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does sound reasonable. Yeah, so I actually asked the specialist, especially if the baby is considered a IUGR baby or growth restricted baby. So she confirmed that it's not. And she also said that the blood flow through the placenta and through the umbilical cord, everything looks normal, and every other parameter, including my BP, my GE test. Everything else looks normal. Only thing that is off is the size of the baby.
Yeah.
And yeah, they also suggested that I do the NSTs starting next week. Mm-hmm. Every week.
So I would. Go ahead.
Yeah, and also I would like to know that in my husband's family, everyone, every baby that was born, his siblings and his cousins and everyone, they were under 5 pounds.
Yeah, there you go. You make a small baby. That's okay. the fact that your doctor is confirming that it's not like fetal growth restriction and that like everything is checking out fine, I would err in the ARRIVE study is Trish gets fired up on the ARRIVE study because it's not a good study. It just is not conclusive in the evidence. And it's just not a good piece of evidence when you fully look through the study, and there's a lot of things that just don't add up and are not conclusive in terms of evidence there. So the ARRIVE study, Trish would be a little bit more harsh than me, maybe, and go along the lines of saying that it's BS and that it doesn't really mean anything. But these providers do try to pull that out to use that as a form of like needing or like talking about induction. The way that I would proceed with this is I would agree to going to get the NSTs done and monitoring. And then I would take this week by week. And if your baby's passing the NSTs and everything's good, then I would just continue to say to your provider, like, I feel okay right now with the fact that baby is doing well and the tests are coming back fine, to wait until spontaneous labor kicks in. That doesn't mean that in 3 weeks we're having a different conversation, right? Things can change. You see Laura here, like she was not expecting to go into her appointment and find this. So things can change. But right now, today at this moment, we agree to the NSTs, monitor the baby, and then have the conversation of waiting for spontaneous labor to kick in. The fact that you just shared that like your family history or your husband's family history has small babies just also confirms with me that like there's a chance that you just have a small baby. There's also a chance that these ultrasounds are off, right? These measurements could be completely off as well. So they're not 100% accurate and they're not a perfect science. So that's something to also add in there.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. That actually sounds really convincing. And also it's comforting to hear that I don't have to think about all these things for the next 2 weeks and I'm going to come back and
check in with us. Like, again, like even tomorrow or like after this call, go ahead and post inside of the Ask Trish section on the Circle app and she'll be able to get back to you and respond, because I do know that you're not the only student we've had that's had this come up where we usually talk about big babies. We usually have the provider use the big baby term, but small babies do happen as well. And they use that as well for a reason to go down to a medical induction. I also wanted to add, because I know you said like that you're fearful of a C-section if you have to be induced, and induction does not equal C-section right away. I know that there's so much talk about the fact that inductions equal potentially more interventions that lead to the cascade of interventions that eventually lead into the OR. But this is for anyone on here that's potentially facing an induction. Induction does not automatically equal C-section. Inductions can be absolutely beautiful. They can be fast. We've had a couple like recently inside the labor bat signal that they're going to be induced. And I'm like, okay, we'll still be talking in a couple of days. And baby's born that day. They can go fast. They can be absolutely dreamy and beautiful. I've been at amazing inductions. It does not always equal cascade of interventions and C-section. The times where we see that happen is when our body is nowhere close to going into labor. That is when we often see more interventions being needed. But when we are looking at inductions further along in our pregnancy, and we have time to prep our bodies, we're less likely to see that cascade of interventions happen. It all has to do with the fact of how ready and close is your body to going into labor. When we are trying to get someone who's nowhere close to going into labor to have a baby, one, that's also not impossible. I've seen it happen. But those are the times where we often see the cascade of interventions kind of creep up on us in those situations. So if we know that you're headed into an induction at 39 or 40 weeks for a medical reason, there's lots of things we can do to prep your body to be ready for that induction and to kind of like lower our chances of needing all of that. Then there's also ways that we can be induced. And this is in the course, this is inside the induction workshop, that lessen also the chance of intervention. So not starting on straight Pitocin, not breaking our water before 6 centimeters, all of these things can less our chance of potentially needing more interventions when it comes to induction. So I just wanted to remind you that, and anyone else here who's possibly facing induction, induction does not equal cesarean, and it does not equal traumatic birth, and it does not equal cascade of interventions. They can be absolutely beautiful and seamless and perfect as well.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for so much information. Yeah, I was super worried and anxious about the fact that I really did not want to start a domino effect on by starting the induction. Yeah, also, can you throw some light on how I can prepare my body in case if I had to go with the induction plan?
Yeah, so a lot of this information should be inside of the prepping your body for labor module inside the course. But things like red raspberry leaf tea, you can start that, I believe it's 32 weeks. So red raspberry leaf tea. Now I'm going to say all of this with a preface of do your own research, figure out what works for you in your body, in your provider. But the main ones that we talk about are red raspberry leaf tea, evening primrose oil. So you start it orally and then you also can insert it vaginally, and it helps with softening the cervix. And when we're talking about prepping our body for labor, where we really want to get that cervix favorable, we don't mean dilated. Dilated doesn't mean anything until we're in labor. We know that. So we're talking about getting that cervix favorable, because when you are not ready for labor, your cervix is pointed to the back, it's extremely high, and it's really thick and really firm. And so when we start induction, we have to bring the cervix to the front, then we have to soften it and shorten it, then we have to worry about dilation. There's a lot more steps. Well, if we can work on bringing the cervix to the front, which isn't always in our control, like things like evening primrose oil, red raspberry leaf tea, deep squats, nipple stimulation, that's not necessarily going to maneuver your cervix to the front. There's not much we can do about that. Our body does it on our own, but we can start to soften our cervix with these things. And the evidence shows on some of them more than others that things like evening primrose oil taken orally and then inserted vaginally can help soften our cervix, along with nipple stimulation, because it releases oxytocin, and oxytocin is the hormone that can help prepare our cervix and our body for labor. So those are all kind of things that we can do leading up to an induction to get your cervix favorable for induction, because that's what we really want. We want that cervix to be soft and like ready to be induced. So whether that's with Cervidil or Foley bulb or whatever that is, the Cervidil or the Cytotec, which is more so used in the States than it is here in Canada, kind of works as the same thing. It's a cervical ripening agent. So it's inserted and it softens your cervix. So that's kind of the first step that we need when we're talking about labor to happen. And when you're going into labor spontaneously, that's kind of the first thing that your body does before it kickstart all the hormones to get labor going. So if you end up having to face induction, you're just a few days away or a week away from being able to start your labor bat signal. So you can send Trish and I a DM at 37 weeks inside the community, and we will help create a plan based on what your induction plan is. So we will like help you understand if you should be doing evening primrose oil or red raspberry leaf tea or nipple stimulation. There's some like research out there, and then just kind of what we've seen in terms of collecting our own evidence inside the community and with all of Trisha's students in terms of nipple stimulation leading up to induction. And if we have a student going in for induction, say tomorrow, we actually tell you guys to do 3 hours of nipple stimulation the day before labor. Just to kind of like amp up that oxytocin and get your body kind of like in this headspace and mind to head into labor. So there's lots of stuff that we can do to prep your body, and we can work with you inside the labor bat signal to do that depending on when you're headed in. So I hope that helps and helps anyone else on here that's potentially facing induction as well.
Yeah, it does. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. So we'll be in contact. Go ahead and post in the community so Trish can weigh in, and then I can also find some other students that have walked through the same thing that you're going through right now, because you're not alone. Alana, how are you?
Good. Just trying to find the mute. I just have a question. I had a prenatal appointment today, and I just had a question about cervical checks, because my midwives aren't doing them, but they offer them. And so I was trying to decide if I wanted one next week. I'll be 39 and like a half. And I just can't decide, because I've made my mind up that I don't want one until I'm in labor and out at the hospital. Yeah. But I'm kind of curious. So I just want to know kind of like your take on it. I know it's a personal decision, and it's not necessarily going to tell me when I'm going to go into labor or when my baby's going to be born. But I just kind of wanted to know, like, if anyone else was like curious and had it done and regretted it, or regretted not getting the info, because I'm totally cool with just letting my body do its thing, but I'm kind of curious and I just don't know. I don't want to like make a split decision at my appointment next week. And so while I have the wealth of knowledge here, I just figured I'd ask.
Totally. And it's so normal to get that little urge of like curiosity at the end to be like, well, you know, what if she told me I was 5 centimeters, you know? My biggest thing when it comes to cervical checks, and this is kind of how I walk through it with a client, is although you're like, I don't want to make a split decision the day of, I kind of want you to, in this sense, I want you to like check in with yourself that day. And before you exit the car to go in for your cervical or your prenatal, I want you to say to yourself, if I get a cervical exam today and they tell me that my cervix is still pointed to the back, it's posterior, it's firm, and I'm not dilated at all, how am I going to feel? What am I going to leave my appointment feeling like? If you tell yourself that you're going to leave that appointment thinking that you're never going to go into labor and you're going to need to be induced and your body doesn't know how to do anything and this sucks and I'm going to be pregnant forever, if that's going to be your mindset, getting that information, then I say hell to the no, don't get the cervical check. Because it's not going to do you any good other than put you in a poor mental state of disconnect with your body and believing that your body's not capable of doing what it is doing right now. So that's my number one thing. Check in with yourself literally as you're turning off the car and say, if they told me today everything I don't want to hear, everything I don't want to hear, what is my mindset going to be leaving this appointment? If you're in the mindset of being like, hey, they can tell me that and I still believe in my body and I'm still totally okay to wait it out and like I'm in a good mindset and that's not going to disturb it, and you're curious, that's up to you. That's totally okay. Generally speaking, we are fans of cervical exams after 40 weeks. I know you'll be pretty close to 40 weeks at that point. And the reason why we like to wait till 40 weeks is because, one, it really doesn't tell us anything. Two, after 40 weeks, if you're considering getting a membrane sweep, understanding that if you are 1 centimeter dilated, you can have that done. And then deciding if that's also something that you want done or not. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Oftentimes it takes multiple of them. You need to know the risks and the benefits of getting cervical exams. So with the risks of cervical exams, just like at anything, there's a risk of infection every time they're doing a cervical exam. There's a very, 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 very tiny risk. Doesn't happen very often that they rupture your membranes. And Trish will say, if this does happen, it's often because your membranes are bulging and during the cervical exam, they poke it. And if they can poke it and pop it in a cervical exam, oftentimes your body was pretty damn close to losing your waters anyways, because it's not easy to pop to do that. So that risk is small. However, it is a risk. And that is also why we like to wait till 40 weeks, because then we know your body's good and ready to go if that is something that happens, rather than when you're getting checked at 37 weeks, there's a chance, unless you're IVF, there's a chance that your dates are off and maybe you're actually 36 weeks and they accidentally pop your water and now you're premature. Like, that's not a good position to be in. So waiting until you're 40 weeks to get a cervical exam is generally our recommendation. And then again, my biggest thing is literally not the pros and the cons of getting the exam done. It's your mental state and how you're going to take that information. Every single person's different. For me, I'm like type A and I get like that. Like, I'm like a little bit curious. Like, I'm like, I just kind of want to know. But I also know in my labor, like when I got a cervical check done, I think I got my first one at like 38 weeks, probably like on the dot. And I wasn't dilated at all. Like, I felt like poop. Like, I was like, I'm gonna be pregnant forever. Well, my baby was born on her due date. Like, it's just, it's so not predictable at all. So that's my biggest piece of advice is, yeah, kind of do make it a split decision. Like, think about it this week and think about like, you know, what is this information going to give me? If it's not going to put you anywhere, give you anything good, it's okay to wait a week. You know, you may go into labor that week and then maybe next week, then maybe you have a different take on it. Maybe you do want to know, maybe you do want a membrane sweep at that point, heading into 41 weeks. Then that's a different story. Like, I feel like after 40 weeks and heading into 41, I'm more on the side of like, if I could have a membrane sweep and it's going to lessen my chance, like by the smallest bit of needing more intervention later on, I'm more of a fan of that. And so is Trish. But yeah, that's my biggest piece of advice when it comes to membrane sweeps. I'm just reading Elizabeth's comments. I let them do a cervical check today because I was curious. Nothing yet, but I'm okay with that. See, exactly. Like, if you're like, whatever, doesn't matter, like not going to affect me, then, and you're curious, that's up to you.
Thank you. That's really helpful because I wasn't thinking about it so much so in how it would affect me mentally. So I'll stew over it. I'm really scared that I'm going to miss pregnancy. I've really had an enjoyable one. I'm not super uncomfortable. It's hard to stay comfortable now. Just like if I'm sitting, like I'm on my ball now and this is kind of like where I'm comfortable, but I think I'd be okay if nothing was happening because I don't feel like get this baby out of me right now. But I'll do a mental check-in. That's very helpful.
That's kind of like, I felt the same way in the sense of like, I also really enjoyed my pregnancy. And yes, I got to the point where I was like wanting my baby out. But I totally understand that mindset of being like, I'm okay to go to 40 weeks. I'm okay to go to 40 and five. Like the majority of first time moms go to 40 and five, right? So the fact that we get this 37 week mark in our head and we fixate on it drives me mental. Like I wish that we just wouldn't. And all of you would just move your due date to like 40 and six, because then once you get to that point and you start thinking about birth, fair, understandable, but we get this like 37 week mark in our head and it's like we still have a month or more if we, you know, and so like that's a long time to be every single day thinking, is today the day? Is today the day? Is tomorrow the day? Was that a contraction? Was that just as my
yeah.
Like that's a long time to live in that mindset, but we do it to ourselves. As soon as we hit 37 weeks, we're like, get this baby out of me. Fair. Some people have miserable pregnancies. And if you are one of those people who are like, have just a horrendous experience, I just shared this on my Instagram story today because I have a client, bless her soul, is just, she's having such a rough pregnancy and she had a really hard time getting pregnant. She went through infertility. She had a lot of losses. And so she has this weird mind game going on right now where she feels like she can't express how miserable she is because she's like, I wanted this so badly. And like, we waited so long for this and now I'm here and I'm just having all these miserable symptoms. I'm like, listen, it's not that you don't like pregnancy or your baby, but who is going to be bursting out of joy when they're nauseous 24/7, vomiting, have heartburn, have SPD, can't walk? Like, find me someone on earth who's going to be like, this is the best day ever when you have those symptoms. No. And we all know if it was our partners, they would be hospitalized. Like, it's just, it's not even a thing to be like, this is the best day ever when you're dealing with these symptoms. So fair, if you're miserable and you want your baby out of you, I 100% like, I respect that. And I totally get that. And there's people who choose to have inductions because they hit that point. And I, again, I'm on your team. I'm there cheering for you. Because that wasn't my experience, but I am a doula and I work with multiple people that that is their experience. When you have people who suffer from like HG, severe vomiting during pregnancy, like, I don't blame you for hitting 37 weeks and wanting to be done with it. It's okay if that's your mentality. You're still a great mom to anyone thinking that right now. You're still a great mom. You're an incredible parent. And it does not mean anything less than if you're not enjoying today in this moment, it is okay to not do that. Because as I said, if this the roles were reversed, we all know our partners would be hospitalized. Laura, did you have another question just with your hand up? I want to make sure I get to you. Or are you good? Did you have?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. No, no problem. All right. Let's see. I have 10 minutes here. Did anyone else? Oh, Ashley, how are you?
I'm good. I am 39 and 6, and I know you were just talking about having, you know, normal first time moms, you know, going to 41 weeks. So I'm going to kind of have that discussion. I have an appointment next Monday on the 5th, which ultimately the doctor had said, well, we'll probably have that discussion about being induced. And so I want to avoid the being induced at all costs, but, and I've been doing, I just started the nipple stimulation for 15 minutes 2 days ago because Trish had mentioned it. But I had already been doing like the raspberry leaf tea and the prunes, I mean, the dates or whatnot. But I'm just trying to prepare myself mentally, just still thinking positively. I did do the cervical check and I was only 1 centimeter, but I was 50% effaced. So I was
amazing.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, that's good. And then I was looking at some of the prior birth experiences, and I seen one of the girls on there, like she I think was around the same time and had the same numbers. And then 5 days later had the baby. So I just wanted to like prepare like the discussion for a Monday at my appointment, like, how far should I push the doctor to for the induction? Should I, you know, say, wait, I want to wait till Friday the 9th, or because then I would be at 41 weeks, or how far, you know?
Okay, so wait, let me get this straight. When's your next appointment? You said the 5th?
Yeah.
And you'll be
40 and 4 days.
You'll be 40 and 4. So in terms of like a first-time mom, no medical complications, nothing coming up in terms of needing to be induced other than your provider deciding that for some reason you need to be. Yeah. We generally are fans of going to 41 and 5 and then starting the induction process around then. Because there's tons of moms out there that go to 42 weeks. And I know all of you are like, oh, like sitting there believing that, but they are, and they do, and it's okay. But at 41 and 5, why we suggest that date in terms of induction is because it still gives you time to go low and slow. And these inductions can be days. Like you can get Cervidil and go home, then come back 24 hours and get another Cervidil and then go home. Like it can be 3 days until things are really amping up. And so if that is your story in your case, doing it at 41 and 5, generally you have lots of time to allow the process to go slower and not just jump straight to Pitocin or do things in a harsh manner. So that is, I know that that would be Trisha's advice for a first-time mom, no complications, nothing coming up in terms of medically needing induction. 41 and 5 is usually our recommendation to have that conversation. Now, have that conversation at your next appointment. Bring it up and say, I am really wanting my body to go into spontaneous labor, and I'm going to trust that my body will. I am open to discussing our induction plan and think about scheduling it for about 41 and 5. If you get pushback, some way to meet the provider in the middle is to schedule an NST. So to say I'm willing to come in for an NST and have that done in the week of, like, say 40 and 5 or 40 and 6, and get that done. And then the other thing when we're looking at approaching the 41 and 5 time is to then schedule some membrane sweeps for in that period. Your 39 and 6 days, you still have lots of time. I know that it feels like it's creeping up on you. And I want to backtrack from that conversation back to when you said, I'm only 1 centimeter dilated and 50% effaced. I want you to rechange the mindset there and the way that you say that. You are 1 centimeter dilated and you are 50% effaced. You're not only 1 centimeter dilated. This is how the providers tell it to you. They're probably like, eh, you're only 1 centimeter dilated. It throws me mental. They do it in labor too. They'll check you and they'll be like, oh, you're only 3 centimeters dilated. That's freaking amazing. That's 3 less centimeters I got to do now. You're 1 centimeter dilated. You have 9 to go. You don't have 10, you have 9. That's awesome. Amazing. You're 50% effaced. You're halfway there. Like, all of these things, switching the way that you say it and believe it will help your mind and your body to believe that it's doing the right thing. Like, your body's prepping right now. You're 1 centimeter, 50% effaced. Amazing. Your body knows what to do. It's proving it right now, you know? So changing that mindset is huge. And then, yeah, my recommendation would be to bring up the topic of 41 and 5, if that's something you're comfortable with. If you're not, if you're thinking more like 40 and 6 or 41 weeks on the dot, whatever it is, then that also comes down to your choice. It's not my choice. It's not Trisha's choice. It's yours. So you have to do what you're comfortable with too. But if you're looking to go what our recommendation is, the furthest to go, we generally like 41 and 5.
Yeah. And I do, you know, do the perspective, because I did get a 36 week checkup because that's what the provider wanted. And every week since 36 weeks, I've had an NST and an ultrasound. So she's been monitoring me and everything good. And so I'm always proactive like that, but it was more just, I had already brought up like those questions, like if I could, like if I was to be induced, if I would be able to go back home. And she said no. And different things like that. So I've kind of started the discussion a little bit, but I wasn't sure how far I'd be able to push her out because of, you know, there are no risk. I've had an amazing pregnancy, and that's where I feel like, and I know, you know, my body can do this naturally. It's so
and like, I mean, I will say not everyone goes in to get induced and goes home. That's really dependent on your provider, the facility that you're giving birth, where. I mean, maybe that's just here in Ontario. I know that it's not, because I know some of you have had that experience too. But in what methods we're using to induce you, for sure have like contribution to that. But just in general too, like, I just want to remind all of you, no one is coming to your door to pick you up for your induction. Yeah. No one's coming and knocking on Ashley's door at 40 weeks and saying, I'm here to pick you up for your induction. Like, we have had students who just don't show, who cancel the day of. Like, it's just, they can't turn you down if you show up in labor, you know? And I have had clients, no word of a lie, we're scheduled to be induced. We call, we cancel that the day before. And then that day we show up at L&D and they're like, oh, you're here for your induction. And we're like, no, we're in labor. Like, and then she's 6 centimeters dilated. And they're like, what? They're so confused. But like, it's one of those like Murphy's Law or whatever. If you cancel your induction, you're probably going to go into labor. Like, it's just one of those things that does happen. But yeah, I'm sorry. I'm frustrated that your provider is giving you that pushback. But stay firm, like stay firm in what you know. You're educated, you know that the risks are low right now. You're getting monitored weekly anyways. So like, if those NSTs are coming back with flying colors, there's no reason.
Yeah, everything has been good. And when I was talking to her about doing the cervical check, and for anyone online, it is uncomfortable. And she said that she doesn't like doing the membrane sweeps for first-time moms because they haven't shown effective for first-time moms. And so she just said that she tried to, when she did the cervical check, she tried to like whiten it, or, you know, that way. So I did like bleed a little bit, but, and she was like, oh, I'm surprised you weren't screaming. And I was like, I didn't think I should, like, but huh. it was uncomfortable. So it's like, they're yeah. you know, trying to stick their little hand all the way up there. So.
Well, and that's the thing is sometimes in like Trish, like when we're talking about like getting ready for induction, if our body's ready, people are, we're like, they've had a cervical exam, we'll be like, were they reaching for gold? Like if they really have to shove their hand up there to find your cervix is still not fully to the front. And so your body's working on that. And I mean, in terms of membrane sweeps, the research is, I would say the research more so leans on the side of that. When you look at the risks in terms of like potentially needing medical induction versus the risks of getting a membrane sweep, the risks of a membrane sweep are lower, right? So like, sorry, that's my alarm to remember to put the elf out. I don't know if anyone's kids are around, but this is my first year having to do the elf. And so I'm like, had to set myself a reminder anyways. So like that's, yeah, it's, I feel like in terms of the risks of like potentially doing a medical induction versus getting a membrane sweep, the risks of a membrane sweep are lower. So that's why, yeah, they might not be effective. Oftentimes you need multiple of them, but if they can lessen your chance a smudge to need a medical induction, I'm more so in favor of that.
Okay, I'll try that again.
Yeah, and like, and yeah, message us, keep us updated. And like, if you need help, like formulating like almost like a script, like of what to say, send us a message or Trish and I will get back to you and give you some ideas. Cause it is daunting sometimes when they're pushing you.
Thank you.
Anyways, I think it was Rachel and then Mallory and then we'll get off. So Rachel, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm 30 weeks this week, which is exciting, a big milestone. Mm-hmm. Especially because I'm actually high risk and for preterm labor. So it's been like, oh, just getting here has been a journey. Yes. But it was good news at my ultrasound yesterday. The baby looks really good and everything's going well, growth wise. And they said that the baby was head down, which is good. But I was curious just because I had been doing some of the like spinning babies positions and things that they say you can do like throughout your pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So I was curious now that their head down, like, should I keep doing that? Or what are the odds that the baby would flip again after being head down at 30 weeks?
Generally speaking, and like, I don't want to promise you this because then your baby could be a little booger and decide that they're going to do some flips. But like, generally speaking, once our baby around 30 weeks to 32 weeks engages and gets head down, you have less of a chance of them flipping back. But it's not that that's never happened before. It does sometimes happen. In terms of like continuing to do the spinning babies things, I would still recommend doing that because just because baby's head down doesn't necessarily mean that they're in the optimal position for labor or for birth. When we talk about optimal positioning, like we're talking about the position of the head, like whether it's down, whether chin's up, to the left, to the right, like there's so many mechanisms there that we still kind of want to align. So the spinning babies would have all of that information on there. Like if there was something that you were doing that they didn't recommend you do once baby's head down, it would be listed. But generally speaking, like if they're recommending it for the third trimester or for birth, you can do it even though your baby is engaged, or head down. And there's less of a chance that they will flip. Now, I think I've shared this before, and this is something that is we're very, very guilty of is when we're pregnant is our position and our posture. And so one of the things that like I became more aware of when once my baby was
head down was kind of sitting more upright when I was sitting. So like sitting on your ball, like Alana was doing, or like sitting in a chair and sitting upright. Once your baby's in that position, using your birth ball, your yoga ball, whatever, as your like primary place to sit is amazing. Because when we slouch back like this in our beds and in our couches, what we're actually doing is opening up the inlet of our pelvis, allowing there to be more space in there for the potential for the baby to turn. So when you're laying like this and slouching, there's more opening there for the baby to turn. Doesn't mean if you're laying that right now, your baby's going to flip. It's just one of those things that like, once you become more aware of it and the way that you're sitting, being on your birth ball is amazing. And just kind of helps baby to get a little bit more like snug in there rather than them being like, oh, I can kind of like loosen my shoulder, do whatever, and then have that chance of them flipping. So yes, there's still a chance that they can. Usually speaking, once we are head down, we're head down. But in Laura's situation as well, I don't know if Laura shared if hers was, I think she did say that she was head down and then she can flip. Like it does happen. I don't want to say that it doesn't, but generally speaking, if we can get the baby head down and then you can work on engagement. So like those deep squats, lunges, like raised lunges, things like that, sitting on your birth ball, get that baby really engaged in that pelvis, then they won't move.
Okay. Thank you. Super helpful.
You're so welcome. Mallory, how are you?
I am good. This is my first happy hour, so I just wanted to say hey. I am new to the Circle app as well. So I wanted to just kind of ask some questions like, how do I set up the bat signal? And
yes.
What should I be doing to get the most out of this?
This is a great question. I am literally going through I'm going to find your name here because this is what been my job for the last couple of days is going through the new members and reaching out to you guys to be like, hey, this is who I am. If you have questions, let me know. So is it Mallory O'Connor?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to send you a message right now. And all I'm going to type is, hey, okay. And then tomorrow morning, I'm going to set up your bat signal for you. And I'm going to send you, like, get you into doing that, let you know what information we need. But by me just sending you a message now, it's going to like trigger me in the morning to do that for you. So you found where the happy hours are. Good. Nice.
Yes.
I will get your bat signal set up in the morning with Trish and I, and then you can give us kind of like a lowdown on your pregnancy, your history, your plans for birth. And then that way you can DM us with any questions. So what that bat signal is kind of, it's our first point of checking when we're checking messages. So usually we're doing it morning, night, and sometimes midday, and it's either Trish or I or both Trish and I in there. So if you have questions or you go to your appointment and you need to update us or whatever it is, you can send us a direct message. So we're going to be getting to those messages first. Now, bonus, if you go into labor during the day and we happen to catch your message, we can kind of give you some pointers and some tips on that. There's no promises or guarantees with that we're going to be on our phone at that moment. But if I know that things are going on and like you're in labor, I'm more likely to check in during the day. And then in terms of the app and kind of what I want you to focus on or like look at right now is to go into the expert workshop. So there's when you go into the menu bar or the home button and you scroll down under events, there's expert workshops. And in there is where we have like all the people coming in to teach different classes. So you can go in there and anything that like looks interesting to you, like tomorrow we have a prenatal yoga from 11 to 11:45. So you can click on the RSVP button and then tell us that you're coming. So there's like a whole bunch of those workshops in there. Those are like the new up and coming ones that you can join. And then you can also go back to the workshop recordings and every workshop we've done, it's under events as well. Every workshop we've done, the recording's in there. So you can go through and kind of like put those, I don't know, pick like one or two. Well, you're 38 and three, so you're nearing the end, but like pick a couple this week that you're going to listen to. Like you don't need to watch them. You can just like listen to them, like the ones that feel called to.
So that's kind of like to navigate through that. And then, yeah, do you have any other questions?
I don't think so. This has been great. I'm going to check out the spinning baby stuff. I did do a cervical check. I did my first cervical check at my last appointment. And she said about 50% effaced in 1 centimeter. So I was like, yay, a free centimeter. Like, I'll take it.
You didn't have to labor to get there.
No.
Dang, it's awesome. Right.
Yeah. So got a free centimeter. And she said, she like touched his head. Like he kicked his legs. And I was like, he's right there.
So that means that your cervix is probably like, if she wasn't reaching for gold and could feel where his head is, it probably means that your cervix is more toward the front. And that's also a really good thing too.
Yeah. She kind of said like you said, it starts kind of facing the back and it kind of turns, right? Like it turns towards the front. So she's like, you're in the turn. Like we're getting there.
Yeah. It's like a little radar. It's like, oh, okay. Labor. Ding, ding, ding. Okay. I'm ready. Like it's like a little antenna. Yeah.
Yes. Which I guess I didn't really realize that your cervix wasn't in a one spot. So I'm like, I feel, I don't know. I'm like learning a lot. These last
amazing. It's amazing. Sorry. I'm just reading a comment in the thing. I'll get to that after. So do you have any specific pregnancy questions you want me to go over? Will you have me here?
Not right now. Like I said, I feel like I learned a lot from everyone else's questions.
The best thing about happy hour is that you come here and you're like, I have no questions. And then you're like, wait a minute, I was wondering that too. So
right. I wrote down the you said it was evening primrose oil. I've heard
Yep. So there, if you go into under events, there's and then workshop recordings, there's an induction workshop in there. Oh no, not induction, prepping your body. I will find it. I can tag you in it as well. And then all that information as well, we can also I can send you tomorrow via the DM and kind of see what you're doing like already. And then Trish and I can weigh in on things that you can start doing coming up to 39 weeks.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. I haven't really started too much. So yes, I'm going to be getting some tea. I'm ready now. This week was the first week where I'm like, okay, it needs to happen.
And it's happening. We kind of put it off. We're like, oh, wait a minute. I am going to push your baby out of my vagina.
Yes. It's happened. Right.
Is that what I signed up for?
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. It was so nice to meet you and I'm happy that you're here. Yes, Ashley, I'm pretty sure it's in there. If I'm making this up, then I'm making this up. But if not, I can send you, actually the cool thing is the Circle app just went through an update. So now we can attach things and you can send pictures inside the DM. So when your mucus plug falls out and you're like, what was that? You can send us a picture of it. I know you're like, okay, so that's a normal thing and we can help you out with that. So Ashley, I will make note. I'm making note now. Tag you in. And if I'm making this up, I will message you tomorrow with kind of some ideas on that. And I think that is everything and everyone, unless anyone has anything else they want to pop on and ask quickly before I get off. And then if not, tomorrow at, it's 11 o'clock my time. So 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, there's a prenatal yoga class. So you mamas who are in the third trimester and you're feeling tense and tight, come to prenatal yoga. And if you can't come, watch it back in the evening and stretch out those hips. And the person who's doing it is amazing. She's taught a couple of classes in our community so far, and I really like how she teaches. So she's super knowledgeable too, on your pelvic floor and prepping for birth. She's incredible. So if you can't join in tomorrow during the day, make sure you go back and watch the recording. It may not be up by nighttime. I know I just said that and I realized I'm talking on someone else's job. It's not my job to get those up by night. So it may be the next morning, but it will be up there within a day. I'm going to give a day or two. And then you guys can go back and watch that. So thank you all for joining tonight. And it was so nice to see new faces and meet everyone. If by chance you pop up here and something clicks in your brain, type it in the pregnancy form and we will get back to you tomorrow. So thanks everyone. Bye.